Well, friends, 4 years ago, just before Christmas, my husband said, I know what I want to get you for Christmas, and I want to surprise you, but I thought better of it. And then he pulled out his iPhone and he held up this picture of this precious, fuzzy, darling St. Bernard puppy and said, what do you think? And I said, I think she's adorable, but gosh, this is a huge commitment, or will be a huge commitment if we decide to do this. And so after 3 days of discussing the pros and cons of owning a potentially huge and certainly to be hairy dog that drools, we called the breeder and said, we'd like to take her. And then the breeder began drilling us and asking us questions to make sure that she knew that we would be good dog owners. And she said, you do realize, don't you, that this large breed of dog requires a lot of training. And you do know, don't you, that St. Bernards eat a lot, they shed a lot, and they drool sometimes a lot. She said, you know, a lot of people romanticize about St. Bernards and they get a puppy, and then once they see how much work they are and they start growing up, they want to return them. And we said, yes, we know. We have owned a St. Bernard before, so we know what we're getting into. And yet she wouldn't stop. She just kept pressing. And we just couldn't believe that this puppy would be as much work as the breeder testified to. However, our other St. Bernard had been a rescue, and we had rescued him at an adult, and he had been mostly an outside dog, but we were determined that this one would be an inside dog, fully one of the family. And so, sight unseen, except for that one cute photo, we all agreed that Maggie would become ours, and a week later, she was. And then we learned that seeing is believing. We saw that Maggie's appetite was insatiable. She gained 4 pounds for every week for the first several weeks. You could literally watch her grow. And my gosh, the hair. We decided that vacuuming should become an Olympic sport, because if it did, the Robs would definitely win the gold medal. And then came the drool. And if you've seen the Beethoven movies, we're here to tell you, they are not an exaggeration. We learned that seeing is believing. And might I add, we love Maggie. But we now own a high-powered vacuum cleaner. We buy dog food in bulk. And she has her own wardrobe of bibs. In this Easter season where we proclaim, He is risen. He is risen indeed. There are many who will ask, how do I know this is true? And can I believe this? And if it is true, what difference does it make for me today in the midst of my quarantined life lived behind closed doors? These are questions that even the first disciples, not just Thomas, wrestled with. They learned that seeing is believing. And so can we. Let us pray. Most gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable and pleasing unto you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, when Tim, Stan, and I looked at the lectionary readings for today, and we saw how perfect the gospel reading was from John for what is happening in our lives today, we were just amazed. As the scene opens, as we said before, it's Easter evening, and Mary Magdalene has already come to the disciples earlier in the day with this incredible but unbelievable news. I have seen the Lord. And then she goes on to tell them of her encounter with the risen Christ at the tomb. And yet it's apparent that her testimony is not quite believed. One gospel says that they found her words to be an idle tale. Because we now find Jesus' most faithful followers not celebrating and rejoicing and spreading this incredible news to everyone, but they're behind closed doors, locked doors, out of fear. They are afraid that perhaps some of the same crowds and religious leaders who demanded Jesus' crucifixion 3 days earlier might be out to get them next. And then Jesus appears in their midst, offering them the same words of comfort that he spoke to them just the night before he died. Peace be with you. And as he says these words, I wonder if they might not have remembered in that moment the rest of what he said to them after the Last Supper. He went on to say, "My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." But now they're afraid. And Jesus comes to them in the middle of their fears, behind their locked doors, to offer his grace and his peace once again. And when they see him, when they see his pierced hands and his side, they believe. They believe that it really is him. They believe that the one who was dead is now alive. They believe in his resurrection, and they rejoice in this incredible good news. I can only imagine, can't you, being behind these doors, being afraid, and Jesus just appears in the midst of them. And when they realize it's him, I can only imagine them saying things like, "I can't believe it's really you. You are alive. You're here." And immediately, their fears are dispelled. For them, seeing is believing. And they realize in that moment that nothing, nothing can lock Jesus out of their lives. Not death, not their fears. They are never out of Jesus' resurrection reach. And neither are we. Friends, we have been living behind closed doors for a month now, somewhat out of fear of the coronavirus, but also out of love for our neighbors and respect for the medical teams who are fighting to help those infected and to develop a vaccine while we wait patiently with faith in their efforts. However, there are other fears that we are living out these days. Doctors say that anxiety levels are escalating, and they're not just out of fear of contracting the virus. Most of us are doing a really good job of sheltering and staying in place and feeling safe, but new fears have been born out of this. Fear that this may go on all summer, fear that we'll be teaching our children come fall, fear of more job loss, fear that a friend or a parent will die alone in the hospital. Some of you are behind closed doors, living with addiction or abuse, and you might fear a relapse. You fear for the safety of your children, or you may fear for your own safety. You fear sometimes for your marriage. You fear for your relationships. The writer of the fourth gospel relays these stories to us, hoping that they speak to us, but also hoping that they speak to his first century community who are being persecuted for their faith, locked out of their places of worship and locked behind closed doors out of fear. The writer wants these eyewitnesses' accounts to speak to us as well. And so the first disciples and John's community and we are not out of reach of the love of God, the love of the resurrected Christ who comes even behind our closed doors to offer his peace to relieve our fears. As our new church signs say, our new yard signs that we all have, we may be isolated, but we are not alone. Jesus is with us no matter where we are, offering peace and joy and confidence and new life in him each and every day. When we wake up each morning and wonder, can I make it through the sameness of this day? Can I make it through the incredible chaos of this day? Can I make it through the fear of the future that this day brings? Jesus is there to answer, yes. Yes, you can, because I am with you. My peace I give to you. Let me breathe my spirit on you again today. I am sufficient for your needs. And so, equipped with the peace and the unbelievable joy of their encounter with the risen Christ, the disciples then go to Thomas and say, just as Mary Magdalene said to them, they go to him and say, "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas receives their news, their testimony, with about as much enthusiasm as they did Mary Magdalene's. He says, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and I put my finger in his nail-scarred hands and in his side, I am not going to believe. Graphic Thomas gets a bad rap by being labeled Doubting Thomas when he's only asking for what he has missed. He's asking for the same proof, the same evidence that has been given to Mary Magdalene and the other disciples. He just wants to see for himself what they have seen. And so a week later, they're all gathered again behind closed doors, but notice this time fear is not mentioned. And Jesus comes and meets Thomas right where he is, offering him what he needs to bring him to belief, to bring him to faith. And he says once again, peace be with you. And then directly to Thomas, he says, here, Thomas, put your finger right here and see my hands. Put your hand in my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believe. John's gospel mentions the word believe 90 times. And in here he says, don't be unbelieving. The word doubt is really not used. Most translations use the word doubt. Jesus says, don't be unbelieving. Believe. Thomas, in seeing the risen Christ, is then, I think, taken back to the last words that Jesus spoke directly to him before he died. His last words to Thomas were, if you know me, Thomas, you have known my Father. And so from now on, you have known him and you have seen him. Jesus' offering of himself to Thomas and the memory of Jesus' last words to him evokes the most powerful confession of faith in Jesus in all of the Gospels. My Lord and my God. Thomas acknowledges the truth of the words that Jesus spoke to him. And Thomas affirms the central truth of this gospel. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus doesn't shame Thomas for wanting physical proof of the resurrection. Jesus offers Thomas what he needs to come to belief, and he offers a blessing to us who will not be able to see the risen Christ in person. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet believe. The eyewitness accounts offered in John's gospel are written, the author says, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you might have life in his name. Real life, abundant life, eternal life, life not lived in fear, but in confidence and joy and peace. The same kind of confidence that we saw in the disciples in the reading that Tim gave us today, who go from gathering in fear to going out into the public and preaching publicly about this risen Christ. Just as God breathed life into the first human being, Jesus breathes his spirit, new life, into his disciples, sending them into the world as the Father sent them, sending them empowered by his Spirit to continue his work in the world, to bear unceasing witness to the love of God in Jesus Christ, helping others to see Jesus through their own actions. When we got Maggie, we discovered firsthand how much work having a Saint Bernard is, but we couldn't believe also how much joy and calm this gentle giant could bring to special needs children and to people who are lonely in nursing homes and hospitals. We found out that seeing is believing. I think we can all say this week, like Mary Magdalene and the disciples, I've seen the Lord. Easter morning was incredible. While we missed being together physically in person, and we found out that locked church doors couldn't keep the risen Christ from showing up among us, reminding us that he defeated all that keeps us locked up. Jesus defeated our fears, our anger, our anxiety, our doubts. He has come among us to bring peace and victory into the midst of all of that. We saw the Lord at Parkland Hospital at our Easter sunrise service that we held for the medical staff that are serving on the front lines of this pandemic. And that seeing Jesus continued through the day of our unbelievable Easter worship in our sanctuary. One of the most, I think, poignant moments on Easter Day where I saw the Lord was in Andrea Bocelli's Easter concert at the Duomo in Milan. He sang alone in the Duomo, and before the concert began, he said, "I believe in the strength of praying together. I believe in the Christian Easter, which is a universal symbol of rebirth that everyone, whether they are believers or not, need right now." Isn't that the truth? His hope was that the music that day would bring together, as he said, millions of clasped hands everywhere around the world. And by this action, he said, we will hug this wounded world's pulsing heart, evoking the mystery of birth and rebirth. Friends, Jesus sends us to evoke that mystery of birth and rebirth so that others might see him, that others might come to believe in him, not only through the testimonies in the Bible, but through the testimonies of our lives lived in him. We have seen the Lord this week in thousands of masks that some of you are making for others, that some of you have given and contributed. We've seen the Lord in the hands of those who are preparing and delivering food to the hungry. We've seen the Lord in your cards and your gifts that offer encouragement to those behind closed doors. We have seen the Lord in our online AA and counseling group meetings. And so I encourage you this week to reach out to someone who you may suspect needs to see the Lord behind their closed doors, who needs a word of encouragement from you. Reach out to someone who you think might need advice on how to get through another day with small children, who might feel anxious and alone, who might need a little of Christ's peace that you can offer them. And if you want to offer help or you need help, I encourage you to go to our website, and on it you will find two buttons, one that says Give Help and one that says Needs Help. And if you need help for whatever reason, someone will get back to you and you will know that you are not alone. Jesus stands in your midst, behind your closed doors, offering his peace. And so I pray that you might allow him to breathe his spirit on you this day. And may you discover firsthand that seeing is believing. Amen.